We all know about the potential danger and devastation that avalanches can cause. There's already been 4 deaths in Montana this year caused by them, and last year the state recorded a record high 37 deaths. But do we all know how to best prevent, identify, and avoid avalanches? In this episode of the podcast, Dave Zinn, a forecaster with the Gallatin National Forest Service Avalanche Center, joins the show to talk about the work he and the center do in southwestern Montana, a recent investigation they conducted in Cook City, and also detailed the signs of potential avalanches and how we can best prepare ourselves in the event that we find ourselves in one. Lots of important information in this episode, and if you're thinking about outdoor recreation this winter season, you don't want to miss this chat between Tom and Dave.
Got Dave Zinn on the line. Dave Zinn is with the Avalanche Center. Let me pull up the right sheet here. I've been kind of bragging on your Avalanche Center, Dave, and the information you pull up on the website, man. It looks like there's really good stuff there.
All right. Awesome, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And I know it was short notice today, too. I just recognized I had to shift gears a little bit and talk some weather, and I saw this fatality. I know we have fatalities, avalanches. I don't know if they're high numbers or low numbers, Dave. But let's just kind of, and a little bit short on this segment. So let's start off with, you know, what is an avalanche? What are the makings of an avalanche?
Yeah, Tom. So there's an avalanche. Fundamentally, all it is it's snow sliding down a steep mountain. And to have an avalanche, we need a recipe for an avalanche, and there's 4 ingredients. The first thing is that steep slope. And after that, we need a weak layer, a slab, and a trigger. And unfortunately, in the case of this accident in Cook City this last weekend, that trigger was a snow biker. And unfortunately, he passed away in that avalanche.
Yeah. Is it, I don't even know how to ask that question about, you know, are there times when you can, when you look and see an area and you've got some avalanche concerns or, how did he get himself into that situation, I guess?
Well, so the first thing to understand is where avalanches occur. They don't just happen all over the place. Where they happen is typically in the backcountry when people are either snowmobiling or skiing, snow biking, snowboarding, anything like that, and they're on steep terrain. So if the slope angle is not at least 30 degrees, it's not steep enough to avalanche. And the problem is that a lot of people who like to participate in these activities, whether it be snowmobiling or skiing, they like to go on a steep slope.
Yeah. Well, and that's where the fun is, too. I know. I get that. Again, it's a short break, and we're coming up, and we'll come on back and talk more about this. I know we've got a couple specifically to talk about, and maybe that informs us as members of the public on how to look out for these things. And then we'll talk, too, about what are some of the services that you guys provide there, too. And then I think things have changed, Dave, in terms of one of these reports said that people are carrying now air bubbles. And so certainly let's talk about the technology that goes into keeping yourself safe, too, when you're out there recreating in our great winter. Back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Montana agriculture is unique, to say the least. Our landscapes and soil types are different. Our weather can be strange and unforgiving. The size of operations and distances between them can be vast. That is why a true Montana ag lender is so important. At Stockman Bank, we have a proven track record of over 65 years in Montana agriculture. Our commitment is unwavering, and our ag expertise is second to none. Contact us today and see why Stockman Bank is Montana's ag leader. Member FDIC.
Let's get back to Dave Zinn. We're going to rip into this. So he's an avalanche forecaster for the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center. Worked the Yellowstone Club as a ski patroller. Did the same thing for Bridger Bowl. Took over the education program for the Friends of the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center in 2016 and has been working away at that ever since. In the summertime, he likes to kayak. You're my kind of guy, Dave, except for the fact that do you get out there and back ski in the backcountry, or obviously as a patroller, you've got some skills. So have you been in a situation where you're looking around and said, hey, you know what, I'm getting out of here because this is just, it appears there are some things here that are not good for me.
Yeah, well, for sure. So whenever we're traveling in the backcountry, whether it's on snowmobile or skis, what we're really looking for is we're looking for signs of instability. that tell us that the conditions are dangerous and tell us to turn around, tell us to come back another day when it's more safe.
What are those signs? Let's and what's the danger right now?
Well, right now we have a wide area that we forecast for. So we forecast for the Bridger Range down through the Gallatin and Madison Range over to the Lionhead area outside of West Yellowstone, and for Cook City, the mountains around Cook City. And so each of those areas has a slightly different avalanche danger. But right now, what we know is that avalanches are possible in all of those areas because we've had new snow recently, and underneath that new snow is a weak layer. And in some areas, it's buried 6 to 18 inches deep. In other areas, it's buried more like 2 or 3 feet deep.
What creates a weak layer?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting thing, Tom, because weak layers form when we have periods of high pressure, like we had in January when it wasn't snowing that much. And the surface of the snow during that time, it got cold and then it got warm and it got cold and again warm. And through that process, the snow crystals change and become weaker. One way that you may have seen this is if you've seen frost on your car windshield, at that same time, it's likely that dew is being deposited on the snow surface, and it forms in these big feathery crystals that, when they get buried, become a really weak interface.
So before backcountry enthusiasts, and that's who most of them are, and sometimes they'll take maybe family members or somebody who's new to the sport and get out there. What kind of precautions do they need to take?
So before people decide to go into the backcountry, and specifically into avalanche terrain, which we define as any slope steeper than 30 degrees, we sort of suggest that they do a few things. The first thing is that they get the right equipment, and that includes the avalanche beacon, an avalanche shovel, and an avalanche probe. Those are sort of the three minimum pieces of equipment that we suggest, and that allows people to find somebody who gets buried in an avalanche quickly. And partner rescue is really the only way that we have positive outcomes on this stuff. The second thing that we want people to do is we want people to get the training. So one of the things that we do at the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center is we offer free and low-cost avalanche education all across Southwest Montana. You can find that on our website at mtavalanche.com.
And I know that a lot of people take advantage of that. What's the new technology? I read in one of your reports here, and again, I encourage people to go to it's mtavalanche.com. You know, they have a large area, as you talked about as well, and there's others in the western side, more western side of the state, I should say. But it seems like the beacon and the shovel and the probe have been around. I don't know anybody that goes into the backcountry that really doesn't have those things. Are there other things out there that are helping?
Yeah, there are other items to have, and you're right. We forecast for this area of Southwest Montana, but the Western Montana Avalanche Center over in Missoula and the Flathead Avalanche Center up in Kalispell do great work for those areas. So if you're not in our specific area, you can find an avalanche center that forecasts for the mountains around you. There's actually a national database at avalanche.org where you can go to. Some of this other technology that you're talking about, there's a lot of safety equipment out there that really can help people out and sort of stack the deck in your favor, if you will. One of the things that you mentioned earlier is these avalanche airbags. And what that is it's a backpack or a vest that has pressurized air or a fan, and it inflates a giant balloon on your back. And it actually doesn't float you to the surface of the snow like a life jacket would in the water. But what it does is it makes you a bigger particle in this tumbling mass flowing down the hill. And just like the big chips in a chip bag, you sort of get sorted to the top. Just because you have that, I don't recommend getting, even when you have that, I don't recommend getting caught in an avalanche. It can be a pretty traumatic experience, even with that.
I've read stories. Have you been caught in one before?
I have only been caught in a very small avalanche, which is the way I'd like to keep it.
Right. Knock on wood. Yeah, okay.
I try to avoid getting caught in an avalanche. That's one of my primary missions.
Well, a couple of things I want to talk about here, but you know, when you guys go out and test these crevices or these ridges, you know, what's that process? What are you guys testing for? How's that go?
Well, it's really interesting, Tom, because what we do as Avalanche Center is we go into the field a lot. So we try to go to the places where people like to go play, whether that's on snowmobiles or skis or snowboards or anything like that. And what we're looking for is we're looking at how much new snow has fallen in that area and how much wind is drifting snow onto slopes. And what we do a lot of is we dig holes in the snow and we look at the layers in the snowpack and we try to determine how strong those interfaces are. And if they fail, can they propagate a failure across a wide area? Because that's what we're worried about. We're worried about a failure starting on a slope and then spreading so it can take out an entire mountainside.
Wow, and there have been some doozies too. I remember, I'm not sure how long ago it was, but the Mount Jumbo slide was a fatality. Of course, that's on the other far side. Yeah, Cook City is one of those areas. Even this year, there have been a number of fatalities, and I know that's hard to talk about. What did you guys learn when you get out there and you investigate these specific avalanches?
Yeah, you know, Cook City has been doing really well for the last 5 years, and there hadn't been any fatalities. But unfortunately, this year there was two fatalities in the end of December in the same avalanche, and then just recently, 3 days ago on Saturday, there was an avalanche fatality just north of town as well. And any of these avalanches, what we do is we go perform an avalanche investigation, an accident investigation. And what we're looking for is the story that led people to make the decisions they made. We want to know how they came to those slopes. And then we want to know about what's going on within the snowpack. And we want to make sure we understand that, because in the avalanche forecast, what we try to do is we try to tell you a story about what's been happening recently, what we're worried about today and the near future, and then what you should do about it. And so if people are getting in trouble, especially if they're getting killed in an avalanche, we really want to have a good understanding about the mechanics of what's happening so we can give people good advice about what to do about it.
Dave Zinn is with us, avalanche forecaster for the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center. It's mtavalanche.com for more information on that. I found myself one time, this is a little bit of a personal story, I would hike in the wintertime and hike, this was in Missoula, Mount Sentinel. I kind of told you the story during the break, and I'll shorten it up here. But I'm curious because I was just sort of hiking and then decided to come down a hill that had some recent snow. The gist of it is, you know, I recognized that maybe I'm in a situation where even though I don't look like I've got, 2 feet of snow above me, I'm in a situation where I could create possibly a small avalanche. And I'm just out there hiking, all right? So I don't have a transponder. I don't have any of that going on. Do you see that situation? Is it, how do you educate people that are maybe in danger of those kinds of avalanches without really recognizing that danger?
That's a challenge, because the people that sort of seek out the products that we offer are people that are generally going into the backcountry with the intention to recreate in or around avalanche terrain. And people that are just going out for a hike may not be familiar with the products that their avalanche centers offer. And we try to reach the public as widely as possible by using social media. We have social media platforms with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And then we also, beyond that, because we're part of the U.S. Forest Service, we work in conjunction with the National Weather Service. So if we issue an avalanche warning for an area, then that gets broadcast out. Like if you were to check the weather. So we're trying to get the word out in as many channels as possible, not just our emails and our website.
I also noticed too that on your website, people are reporting minor avalanches. Is that right? Is that a place where they can report avalanches? And how does that inform you guys?
Well, so what we do as an avalanche center is we compile the information that we're able to collect in the field. We overlay that with what's happening with the weather, what's happened in the recent weather, and then what's going to happen. And then we get observations from the public about what they've been seeing. And they may tell us about signs of instability that they saw. And obviously the number one sign of instability is recent avalanches. So if we hear reports about people either seeing natural avalanches that just occurred because they got a slope got weighted down too much by new snow or wind drifted snow, or if they triggered an avalanche or see another group trigger an avalanche, then they send those observations in, and that gives us a ton of information about the big picture of stability in the mountain range.
Do you guys go out into the snow then and send charges up to mitigate avalanche danger like they do at the ski resorts?
We don't. We don't do that at all. What we do is we're out there studying the snow, but we're not out there trying to cause avalanches like a ski patrol would. So ski patrols within the boundaries of the ski area are always working to mitigate this avalanche danger. And they do that through a number of different means. But as you mentioned, one of the techniques that they use is they use explosives that add a really strong impact to a force and can trigger an avalanche and send it downhill before the skiers and snowboarders get there for the day.
Well, we got about a minute left here. And this is a basic question. Maybe it's almost too basic, but I think it's important. I'm not trained. What if I'm really not out in too much dangerous country, but what if I find myself in an avalanche? How do I save myself if I've not been prepared like I ought to be?
Well, at that point, you're in a tough situation.
Yeah,
for sure. And there's no getting around that. Ultimately, to be prepared, you really need to have a partner that knows how to use, well, both people need a beacon, shovel, and probe, and they need to know how to use them. If you're in an avalanche and you don't have those things, the important thing is don't give up. Keep fighting. You want to try to get to the sides of the avalanche or to the top of the avalanche, let the snow flow past you, and so hopefully end up on top. But clearly, if you're in steep, snow-covered mountains, being prepared with the gear and the education is fundamental.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. I've been out there a little bit, but my adrenaline doesn't need to be pumped up that much. But I know that I'm out of time. Montana, is it around the west? Would you say it's avalanche country or not so much as some of these other parts?
In the Rocky Mountain West, we are in avalanche country. And as such, we need to know a little bit about avalanches and then just know where to find information about them.
Dave,
ncavalanche.com is us. Avalanche.org will get you any avalanche center in the country.
That's a good idea. It really is. And I really appreciate you hopping on this morning, too, and addressing this with recent news, too, and getting us up to speed. Dave Zinn, thank you, man.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. We'll be back. Just some closing thoughts here. News out. It looks like Russia's parliament has given Putin the okay to use armed forces. So President Biden's going to be addressing the nation at 11 o'clock Mountain Time. Look into that here quickly and be on back for final thoughts on Voices of Montana.